afternoon on SEN.
It's a big one too. Don't go anywhere. Still to come, Charlie Gardner at the Sydney Swans. Kevin Sheehan with his draft manifesto. You don't want to miss his top 40 draft prospects coming up. Justin Reeves from the Hawks and the voice of cycling, Matt Keenan as well. And all your calls and texts right up until 3 o'clock. But what a great pleasure it is to talk cricket. 8 months it's been since Australian cricket closed its doors to the public. And finally, as of tomorrow afternoon, the men's national cricket team will on Friday return to the SCG where it last played on home soil. Of course, it's the Aussies in India, an ODI at the SCG. And it all burst to life at 2 o'clock on Fox Cricket. And the man who's going to play a huge part in that, of course, is the expert commentator, Brendan Julian, who's been good enough to join us. Thanks for doing so, BJ.
Hey, g'day, guys. Great to talk to you finally. First day of cricket for the men's, that is, coming up on Friday night. Looking forward to it.
For the men's, indeed. You touched on it there, the build-up to this summer, it's been almost never-ending. I mean, we're finally here. It's been a long wait.
Mate, it has been a long wait, hasn't it? I mean, 1 minute, there may never have been a summer, and then all of a sudden India weren't thinking about it, and players are up in arms. They didn't know what they were doing. But, you know, I mean, full credit to Cricket Australia. I mean, it hasn't been easy. But I suppose the NRL and the AFL have sort of set the tone and said, you know what, we need to get on. And even if there's crowds or no crowds, we need to play a game of cricket. So hopefully we'll have a decent crowd out there. I think it's going to be a little bit restricted at the SCG. But looking forward to this. Coley v. Stephen Smith, Aaron Finch, David Warner, some big names.
Yep, obviously it's a reduced capacity in light of the obvious. So it's a three-match series and then the three T20s after that. What are you expecting from both sides here, BJ? I mean, is the Australia-India now cricket's biggest rivalry from our perspective, do you think? Has it gone past the old dart?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. I think it's getting up there. There's no doubt about it. What I would like to see, though, I would like to see a five-test match series. I mean, I don't know why we're playing four-test match series. I mean, I think it's as big as England. I don't think it'll ever go past England because that's just something different. But certainly from two teams' quality players, you know, there's roughly about 20 great cricketers playing in world cricket that are playing in these two series. So, I mean, I think that's quite a big thing as well. I don't think it'll go past England. That's what we grew up with. It'll be very hard, but it's a very, very close second. And hopefully, as I said, they'll get the five-test series and can equal the Ashes.
Yeah, well, Justin Langer saying yesterday that, I guess from his point of view anyway, that India's Australia's, I think he said, quote, most intense rivalry. So I guess it comes and goes, doesn't it? And we can't wait. And Virat Kohli plays a massive part in that, of course. How do you see that with Virat? Obviously, here until Christmas. I mean, how much impact does he have in or out of the Indian side? How do you see that affecting the series? Will it be a headline sort of departure, or how strongly do you think it'll affect the series?
Well, look, I think it'll be a big part of the series. I mean, I think it'll be a big part in these one days and the T20s coming up. I mean, both the teams have been playing a fair bit of IPL, so they're sort of into the swing of one day cricket and coloured clothing. So I think he plays a big part. I think he's the heart and soul of Indian cricket. I think he's the temperament of how they're going to play their game as well. He'll play the first test match in Adelaide, and that'll be a pink ball one. So I think that'll set the tone. But India have got some great players. I mean, you know, don't underestimate now the quality of the Indian batting lineup. I mean, Rohit Sharma is going to come back into the Test series. They've got some really good young guns. Agarwal is a really good opener. You're going to see a lot of him and Shreyas Iyer in the middle order. These are names that you probably don't recognise, but they've been around, you know, started on the scene. They're really good quality players. And then you've got the bowling. You know, you've got Mohammad Shami and Bumrah. I mean, they are quality bowlers. So, I mean, this won't be easy for Australia. But I think for the Test series, we've got to jump on them early. And I think if we can jump on them early, then that'll be a good start for us. But certainly the one-dayers will warm us up for it. And like I said, India are a quality lineup. So I think these are the two best teams in the world at the moment. So it's going to be a good contest.
Yeah, love watching Shikhar Dhawan and the white ball stuff as well. He's a joy to watch. Tell us about Steve Smith, Brendan. He said this week that he's found his hands again after a pretty lean IPL patch. There was some talk that the Indians will, in fact, target him with some short ball stuff like the New Zealanders did. Do you think that will work?
I think they'll try that. I mean, they'd be silly not to, wouldn't they? I mean, Stephen Smith sort of, I wouldn't say he got found out against New Zealand. I think New Zealand just thought, you know, this is the way we want to play him. We'll put two back and try and restrict his scoring. So I've no doubt that the Indian bowlers will try that, but I don't think that's the strength of Indian bowling. I mean, as I said, I think their bowlings of Bumrah and Mohammad Shami, I mean, the way that they bowl, and also Ishant Sharma, I mean, they're not a banging in bowler like the Kiwis were. They're a good line and length, swinging away, and you know, looked at bringing the cord. And so I think that's the way they'll try and play it. I mean, and I think Stephen Smith, when he said, "Look, I've found my hands," I think what he was sort of saying that, you know, in the IPL, it can force you to do a lot of different things in the IPL. And I think probably a couple of things for him didn't work. I mean, his highest score, I think, was about 31 not out in that IPL tournament. So the 50-over game will give him enough time to sort of settle in. In IPL cricket, you just can't settle in. So I think he'll enjoy it. The field will be back. And in these one days, he can knock around and get himself in. So I think that's what he's going to enjoy.
And do you think he'll be the only change when it comes to the limited over stuff? It's a pretty stable side otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can't see them making too many changes. I mean, don't forget, the last game that they won, it was a cracking game, and that's the one where Kerry and Glenn Maxwell both scored 100. So you don't want to change it. I think Maxwell has found his spot. I mean, I think he loves coming in at 6 and 7 in the last 15 overs of a game and really trying to turn it on. If he gets in earlier, he can adapt his game. So I think I wouldn't be changing the 6 and 7, meaning Kerry and Maxwell. And then all of a sudden, you've got, you know, Marcus Stoinis in that lineup as well. I mean, he sort of batted 3 and took Stephen Smith's spot in those one days when he couldn't play with a concussion in England. So I like having Marcus Stoinis in the side. So, I mean, I would just take Marsh out and bring Stephen Smith in. I don't think they're light in the bowling side of things. You've got the quicks, you know, Hazelwood, Cummins and Starkey. You've got Zampa, I think, will play. And then you've got Stoinis and Maxwell to mix it up in there as well. So I think it's a pretty balanced side. The reason I say I don't think they'll make changes is because Jay Allen will want to win the series. He'll want to win the first game at least, the second game. So he won't want to muck around. So I think that'll be the lineup.
Yeah, I think Glenn Maxwell, he touched on really interesting at number 7, did so well, obviously, in the last series, which feels like a lifetime ago over there in the UK. But it's just been one of the great question marks where he's been used. And we've tried and failed with a few things, but he'll be a fascinating watch at number 7. Hey, BJ, where do you sit on the Pekoski just switching to test match format here? Obviously, Pekoski v Burns. It's been the debate of the lead up, if you like. And Mark Wall said this morning that, you know, you pick an opener based on form, somewhat tellingly, he said, not on who the other guy wants to bat with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't believe, I agree. Trevor Holmes asking David Warner who he wants to bat with. I mean, that's ridiculous. So I can't believe you're asking another opener who you want in there, because your opener's always going to go, well, you know, the incumbent, he's a good mate of mine. We do pretty well. But at the end of the day, mate, you pick an opener on form. And I agree with Mark Waugh. At the start of the summer, I said, Pekoski is a talented cricketer. I want to see him punch out a full Shield season and go back-to-back 4 or 5 Shield games, because I think that's the real test for him in terms of his mental ability. But having said that, I think he's earned the right now, because Joe Burns has been horrible. I mean, his form in Sheffield Shield cricket is not good. His technique, to me, has not changed much. He should have made some decent runs in the last summer and he didn't. So I think we're forced to put in Pekoski. It does worry me that can he get through a whole summer? Because you don't want to get to a stage where you pick him for 2 test matches and in the 3rd and 4th he goes, you know what, you know, I need to take a break or whatever he's got to do. You don't want to do that. So I would be forced to put in Pekoski. I think we can do that. So I wouldn't be playing Joe Burns. But they're going to have a crack at it, this Australia A, India A sort of game. So you never know. Some runs should come out of that. But for my mind, I'd be playing it.
Would the pink ball be a factor in the decision, do you think? Would it add another layer of difficulty for someone like Will Pekoski coming in first up?
Well, see, I don't reckon. I mean, if the guy's good enough, he's good enough. I mean, what people would say is, oh, well, let's just play Joe Burns because we think he's better against the pink ball. Well, he's not. I don't think he is. His form doesn't show it. His technique doesn't show it. So I don't think there's anything to decide there. I mean, mate, it's test cricket. I mean, test cricket's not easy whenever you play it. So that's just the way it rolls. I mean, you know, you don't want to be hiding players and protecting them, because they turn around and go, hang on, well, I could have played, but you were worried that I couldn't handle the pink ball. It's not his fault. He's just got to score runs in Shield cricket, and that's the barometer that we decide to pick players for test cricket. So at the end of the day, sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and put the guy in. It is a massive step up, but no, you got to take that step sometime.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, from one prodigy to another, what about someone like Cam Green? I mean, do we need to cool our jets a little bit more with Cam, or are we just as bullish on him in the short term as well?
Well, look, I think you've got to cool the jets a little bit. I mean, I think he's an exciting cricketer, but he has to be the 6th best batsman in the country. Don't worry about his bowling. He's not in the side as an all-rounder. He's got to be in the top 6. I think Justin Langer wants to go with a little bit of experience and may give that to Matthew Wade. I mean, it was only a couple of series ago that he made 100 and looked pretty good. So I think he will go for that because you want to keep that pretty stable. But you know what? I know Cameron Green has batted really well last summer and this summer, but I mean, I really like Marcus Stoinis as well. And I have no doubt that if he wasn't playing IPL, he would have peeled off a couple of hundreds as well in the Sheffield Shield down in Adelaide on flat track. So, you know, I just want to keep it open a bit. I don't want to make two changes to that test side. I'd love to give Cameron Green a crack, maybe in these one-day games, if they can fit him in. But I like Cameron Green. I think he's very, very close, but I don't think JL want to make two changes heading into the four test series.
We're speaking of Fox Cricket's Brendan Julian. Brendan, you've been there, done that, of course. Tell us, as you look at it now from the outside in, the impact of the COVID bubble. I mean, these players are going to be living pretty tight protocols for the better part of 2 months here. I mean, what impact do you think that might have, if any?
I think it's going to be massive. I mean, I think people are underestimate, you know, we expect our sports people to perform at the highest level whenever we watch them on TV. These guys have been in lockdown since, well, about September. Mm. I mean, you go through three lockdowns, one in England, one in the IPL, and then one in Australia. That definitely affects you. I mean, being cooped up in a hotel room, half the team is in hotel quarantine in Sydney, the other half are out of quarantine at Homebush in Sydney, and then all of a sudden they come together today. So I think by the Christmas time, we're going to see a few players probably stepping away from the game for 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, I think that might impact maybe the BBL, but you're going to see players stepping away and wanting a break. I mean, we're seeing it already in Sheffield Shield games, so we've only just started the season. So I think it's going to be a way of somehow managing, you know, the player workloads. And that's why I was surprised that the BBL had so many games. I actually would have been the ideal opportunity to knock out a third of the games, make it a bit more quality intensive, and then take away and give the players a bit more of a break. So I think before Christmas, you're going to see players sort of stepping away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you think it'll be that severe from a mental standpoint? I'm assuming you're talking about more than anything.
Well, I think it will be, mate, because all of a sudden they finish the summer, they get on the plane, half of them go to New Zealand for a one-day series, and the rest of them go to South Africa for a test series straight away in February.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they're just jamming in as much as they possibly can, and it's tough anyway. All of a sudden now, I mean, if you're working, basically people were working from home and not going in the office, right? All of a sudden, we're expecting our cricketers to fly around, stay in a hotel for 14 days, not speak to anyone, then come out and play at the highest level. You know, I mean, they can't even do that type of thing and not see their families as well. So, you know, this is they've basically been on the road since September. Now, you can't tell me by we get to February, some of them are going to be cooked. Mm. I reckon it's going to be, you know, something we've got to manage.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting watch. And certainly from an off-field standpoint, Cricket Australia will be working overtime to make sure they put the right support structures around the players, of course. Hey, Brendan, there's nothing like a list to stir up debate. The ICC, I'm not sure how across this you are, has listed 7 nominees for their Player of the Decade Award. Steve Smith, Jeez. Virat Kohli, yeah, Kane Williamson, Joe Root, Jimmy Anderson, Yasir Shah, and Sri Lanka's Rangana Harath. We could debate this until the cows come home, but I'll put this to you with limited thinking time. What do you think? Player of the decade.
Well, look, I would say, you know, straight off the top of my head, I'd say Virat Kohli has been a generation player, a bit like Viv Richards, Dennis Lilly, and Sachin Tendulkar. Mm. You know, straight off the top of my head, I mean, I think he's been a generation player. Stephen Smith, close, but I don't think he gets above Virat Kohli. Kane Williamson for New Zealand, well, he's no doubt he's been New Zealand's best ever player. And I think he comes in at probably a top close, you know, third or maybe fourth. I think Jimmy Anderson's got to be up there, mate. I mean, he's a bowler that's taken, what, over 500 test wickets? That's not easy to do. For me, I mean, Jimmy Anderson and Virat Kohli would be neck and neck, and Jimmy Anderson's probably at the end of his career, so he's probably done it for a longer period than Virat Kohli. So I'll go off the charts and go Jimmy Anderson.
There well thought through, Brendan. This is a nice little googly there for you at the end, but you handled with aplomb. Hey, we can't wait for it. Australia's first one-day international against India, featuring Virat Kohli, live and exclusive on Fox Cricket, of course, from 2 o'clock tomorrow. You can watch it on Foxtel. It's being streamed on KO as well. Brendan Julian, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Pleasure, guys.
Brendan Julian there, Fox Cricket expert commentator, will be hitting your small screens tomorrow. So live and exclusive on Fox, 2 o'clock, streamed on KO as well. 1-300-736-736. Geez, he was strong on the mental side of things, wasn't he? And this COVID bubble and the protocols in place and the mental fatigue and demands that are being put to the players, he thought many would crack. 1-300-736-736 if you'd like to discuss any of that.